Thank you, sisters, for that lovely music. We bid you welcome to Hebron Free Presbyterian Church and to the midweek service. We do that sincerely. We are working on all the media installation these days. We do appreciate the work of Philip and Paul and all that they're doing behind the scenes before we do these broadcasts. Trusting that it all comes together tonight, we're going to listen to a beautiful hymn. In our hymn book, it's 439. I have a shepherd, one I love so well, how he has blessed me, tongue can never tell. On the cross he suffered, shed his blood and died, that I might ever in his love confide, following Jesus ever day by day. And this is a recording from the past, one of the Lord's days when we met here in Hebron and we had our congregation present. Trust that you are blessed through the singing of the hymn.
Stand again to sing.
Thank you.
As we come to pray and seek the Lord tonight, we do have some special requests that we want to make. First of all, for a lady called Anne Allen, and this is Anne McCauley, John McCauley's cousin. She was admitted to hospital last Lord's Day with COVID, and she's not well at all. She's not in intensive care, but she does need special prayer. And then Chrissy Blair, Gina's brother, he has been in hospital this week and has had surgery and has now got out of hospital this evening. He needs our prayers. The National Health Service, under so much pressure this week, and then, of course, our own church life during lockdown, which we hoped would continue only until the beginning of February. And it looks today that lockdown, certainly in the country, will go beyond that into the month of March. So let's seek the Lord in prayer. Almighty God and gracious Heavenly Father, we come into your house and into your presence just now. And as we always do, we come in Jesus' name. We bless thee that Jesus is the name that is high over all. In hell and earth and sky, angels and men before it fall and devils fear and fly. And it is this name, this precious name, that gives us access into the presence of our God. We can come to your throne. We can come beyond the veil that was rent in twain. We can stand in the very immediate presence of God before thee, through the merit of Christ and through his wonderful exalted name. And Lord, we do seek your blessing tonight as we come here, albeit to an empty church with just a few that are helping with our broadcast tonight, but our congregation and others listening in on Sermon Audio and Facebook. We seek your blessing. Want the Lord to be in the midst of all that happens this evening. Thank thee for this beautiful hymn that is one of our favorites, reminding us of Jesus Christ in his office as a shepherd. We thank thee that he is the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. And he is the chief shepherd. One day he's going to appear in glory and come back for his own blood-bought people. And we thank thee that he is the great shepherd. These titles that are given to him in the New Testament scriptures. We're also reminded about the 23rd Psalm. We can say with David, the Lord is my shepherd. Thank thee for the day that we met him, when he drew us as sheep to himself. Before that, we were sheep going astray. We had turned every one to his own way. But the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. And Christ died for us, being wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Went to the cross, took our sin, made our sin his sin. Bore the punishment and the penalty forevermore. And Lord, it is with joy, therefore, that we come before the presence of our shepherd tonight. And we pray that you will lead your flock, that you will bless your people, every lamb, every sheep of the fold, wherever they are tonight, whatever circumstances they find themselves in. And Lord, we know for some it's a time of trial. It's a dark passageway in your providence that you have brought them. And some hearts tonight are filled with sorrow. And some, Lord, of our dear people are sick. And prayer has been asked for this dear lady, Anne Allen, and we want to commit her to thee. You know her circumstances just now as she lies in a hospital ward, greatly in need of the strengthening touch of the Master's hand. Lord, be her portion, we pray. Remember Chrissy as well. He's got out of hospital this evening. And we pray your blessing upon him to strengthen him and to raise him to health and strength again. And remember our nurses and doctors, especially those that are on the front line and dealing with the pandemic every day. Lord, hedge them about and keep them safe and give them the wisdom of God in their work. And Lord, we pray that you will rid this land of the pandemic. Lord, deliver us from this pestilence. Hide your people and keep them safe at this time and protect us. Oh Lord, we pray that you will dwell with us now as we continue in this meeting together this evening. And bless every part of it in Jesus' name. Amen. I would take the opportunity to bid you welcome in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're listening in tonight on Sermon Audio, or if you've chosen Facebook, whatever, we're glad that you are part of our meeting this evening. I want to remind you that tomorrow night the Youth Fellowship recommences. at 8 o'clock, and that takes place on Zoom. Having a special link up with the Pankernandi. He's studying in the Bible College, the Whitfield College, and he is a member now of the church here at Hebron, and he's going to talk to the young people. There's going to be an interview with him, and then you'll have the opportunity to ask him questions. So get your questions ready, young people, for the Lord's servant of Panker, this man who labours for Christ in the land of India. Do remember the Lord's Day, the Sunday school at 10:30 on Hebron Facebook. Remember the Bible class on Zoom, it's at 10:30 also. And we just want to acknowledge your tithes and offerings for God's work. We received a couple of missionary gifts of £100 each. And we want to thank you in the Saviour's precious name. Now tonight we're trying some things a little bit differently. And so we had our congregation sing from the past. And we have a soloist tonight, and our sister Pearl Dewey is going to sing the hymn 612. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. I know that Pearl can sing this hymn, and sometimes around the homes that we had the opportunity to go to in times past. Not these days because of the virus, but it was a great blessing as these truths were ministered to the older folks. Well, I know it'll be a great blessing to you tonight, no matter what age you are. Let's think about this day that has yet to be, when the clouds will be removed and the tears will be dried away. Thank you.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be.
like to say amen to that. What a day, glorious day that will be. And we thank you, Pearl, for your willingness to come in tonight, at least to try something a little bit different in these days of lockdown. And I know as you've listened at home, that's been a blessing to your heart. Will you turn with me to the book of Exodus and the chapter 6? The book of Exodus and the chapter 6. And I'm going to read the opening 8 verses of this chapter. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you in unto the land concerning of which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord. May the Lord be pleased to bless his word to every heart. And I was thinking about this passage this week, and I was thinking of just this very simple subject tonight, as we have it in these latter verses, verse 5 through to verse 8, God's amazing mindfulness of his people. So with the Bible before us, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this amazing history that we've just read. And we thank thee that though it is something that happened all these centuries ago, yet there's an up-to-date message for us. Lord, you've spoken already through your precious word. And as we seek to study it and meditate upon it and expound it just a little bit this evening, we pray that you will draw near to every heart and speak to every soul. Lord, help me tonight to bring the message. May it be the means of blessing and, Lord, even prepare us for the place of prayer. In Jesus' precious name, amen. When Jacob's family came to the land of Egypt in the days of famine, they came to Goshen, to a place of blessing and provision. And they enjoyed great supply and bountiful sustenance because Joseph was the prime minister. God had brought him to that position for such a time as this. But all good men die, even Joseph. And with his passing and the departure of the Pharaoh, who had shown such kindness and favor to Joseph and to his family, a new era arrived for the children of Israel. Now, if you turn back to the opening part of the book, just to the verse 6 of chapter 1, we have here recorded the passing of a great man of God. Joseph died, and his brethren, and all that generation. So Joseph and his brothers and that particular generation have now passed away. Look at the next verse. We have the fruitfulness and the prosperity of a great nation. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty. And the land was filled with them. But look at what we read in the next verse. Here we have the change of administration and rulership. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And this particular king, this Pharaoh, was envious and fearful
of the Israelites. Look at the following verses, 9 and 10. He said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Now, his plan was to crush the Israelites. He appointed taskmasters to afflict them with burdens. They continued to flourish all the more. And then the wicked edict was proclaimed. Go down to verse 22, the last verse of chapter 1. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. So there was to be the extinction of the male children of the Israelites. He planned to have them all killed. Now, all this time, God was preparing a man, as he often does, a man. And the man is called Moses. See the providence of God at work on the banks of the river Nile, where the infant Moses was led, where he was hidden away. He was discovered by Pharaoh's daughter, as you know, and she adopted him as her son, and yet his mother became his nurse. He was raised in the culture, art, and science of Egypt. Indeed, we are told that he was destined to become the next Pharaoh of the land of Egypt. But no, Moses never forgot who he was, where he came from, who his people were. For 40 years, he was educated, cultured, and instructed in the ways of the Egyptians. And then for 40 years, he was quietly prepared by God for his future ministry as a shepherd in the land of Midian, looking after the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro. Then the call of God comes at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. Moses, take your shoes off, for the place where you stand is holy ground. And there from the burning bush, God called Moses to be the leader of Israel, who would lead that great company of people out of the house of bondage. So Moses comes in chapter 5 of Exodus to demand the release of Israel. Verse 1 of chapter 5. And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. But Pharaoh was filled with arrogance. And the next verse tells us that Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. He refuses to let Israel go. And things worsened for the children of Israel. And the taskmasters were even harsher upon them. Now God has a plan to execute. And that's where we come to the 6th chapter, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. God comes to Moses here as the great I Am, and he reveals his special name, as we read it there in verses 2 and 3. He is Jehovah, the special name of God, the covenant-keeping God. And he comes to speak about his covenant in verse 4. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage wherein they were strangers. And he comes with words of immense encouragement and promise. The whole section that follows is filled with the gracious I wills of God. I think there's 7 of them in total in 3 verses from verse 6 through to verse 8. The great promises that God gives here, I will, I will, I will. And my friends, I want you to think about our days of affliction. I want to think about your troubles that you might be in this very night. I want to think about the griefs that have come our way and the sorrows that have overtaken us. And yes, even the present pandemic that we're passing through, COVID-19, that has afflicted this nation and the nations of the world. And we're hearing about the awful things that are happening in our own land and the stress and the burden that the national health is under this week particularly and probably the following week. And we're also hearing about devastating things that are happening throughout the world and the nations of the world. Just this week, there's been a special appeal made for the land of Brazil. And we think of the Acre Gospel Mission, and they've put out this appeal, especially for the great city of Manaus of 2 million people. Every week, 3,000 people are being diagnosed with COVID. Maybe it's every day. And every day, there are 200 deaths. And there's many of God's people that are suffering right now. I want you to think about all the things that are afflicting us at this time. And I want you to know as we look at this passage that God is still God. He is still the great I Am. He is still Jehovah God. And he still sees and hears and feels and shows compassion. And he would come to us afresh this evening with his covenant promises to encourage us. Hence the title that I'm putting on this message tonight, God's Amazing Mindfulness of His People. And I want you to notice, first of all, as you look at the opening part of verse 5, God's benevolent inclination. And here we have the hearing of God revealed. What does God hear? Well, look at it, verse 5. I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. God was not an unfeeling bystander when Israel suffered so much under the cruel regime of Pharaoh. As the all-knowing God, he had seen fully the wickedness of the taskmasters and the suffering of his dear people. Every detail was known to him. Every whiplash, every beating, every persecution and opposition, every harsh and angry word, nothing escaped the attention of the omniscient Lord God Jehovah. And when we read back in chapter 2 and verse 23, the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage and they cried, we immediately read these words, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage, and God heard they're groaning. And here again in chapter 6, we hear God speak to his servant Moses, and he says, I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. His ear was inclined towards them. We can borrow the language of David there in the Psalm 40 and verse 1, where we have God inclining his ear. God bent his ear to listen to the children of Israel in the midst of all their affliction, in the midst of all their groaning. His ear was toward them in love and in compassion. Here is a truth that is emphasized over and over again in Scripture. In the midst of the suffering and anxiety, in the midst of the distress and pain, God listens. God hears our groanings. Elihu reminds us in Job 24 and verse 28 that the cry of the poor comes unto him and he heareth the cry of the afflicted. Oh, this day God hears the cry of the poor, he hears the cry of the afflicted. That's just amazing. As I was thinking about this today, I got a whole a stream of photographs, first of all, this morning from the land of India. And it is the third distribution of food to the 70 orphans. And Dipankar very kindly shared them with us. We'll be able to show maybe some of them in the Lord's Day. But here's the children in the midst of their poverty, in the midst of their lack of food, being fed. God heard the cry of the poor. And then just before I come into the service this evening, our sister Emma, the wife of Pastor Sabine in Romania, she had just been to the the grocery store, and she had just visited a very poor Roma family, and she had brought them a supply of food. These poor people, God hears their cry. He bends over them. He inclines his ear. And Elihu reminds us of this. The psalmist David, in the midst of some of the darkest days that he ever went through, was able to declare in the Psalm 18, verse 6, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears." In a time of despondency, when the prophet Micah lamented good men disappearing out of the earth, in a day of evil, depravity, bribery, and treachery, when a man could not trust even his friend, even when a man's enemies were the men of his own house, Micah said, "Therefore will I look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." I see a young man perishing for lack of water. His mother Hagar, and he had been cast out, and she feared the worst. Her son would die of thirst. And so she placed her teenage boy under a bush, and she removed herself at a distance because she didn't want to see him die. And the Bible tells us how she sat down and she wept before God. And here's the wonderful thing. The Bible says God heard the voice of the lad, and he intervened, and he brought them to a well of water. Hagar sitting, weeping, and there's no doubt that God heard her cry too, but it's very interesting. God heard the cry of this lad as he was placed there beneath that bush in all likelihood to die because there was no water. Our God is the God of absolute knowledge, who knows all things through his own divine omniscience. I always think, as I ponder the omniscience of God, of that tremendous Psalm, Psalm 139. And many of these phrases, I'm sure, will be familiar to you and perhaps memory verses. And they've been an encouragement. "Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting, mine uprising." Every time I sit down, every time I stand up, in the most simplest actions of life, God knows every time I do that. There's just one or two in the building tonight, our organist and our pianist, our soloist, our sound engineer, and a couple up there in the media center. If I was to ask you how many times did you sit down today and how many times did you rise up, you probably couldn't tell me. But God knows even in those simple actions that we have taken today, sitting down, rising up. "Thou understandest my thought afar off." And some have explained this, that God knows our thoughts before we think them. Before those thoughts have even reached our mind, they are afar off. God understands them. God sees them. He knows what we're about to think. "Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways." Oh, dear child of God, there's not a way that you have been called upon to take in this life. There's not a way in this past week that you have passed through, but God knows it altogether. And he goes on, I would commend this whole psalm to you. He speaks about the words in his tongue, that God knows them, and how he can't escape from the presence of God no matter where he turned. Having time tonight to read those verses, but just to simply remind you that God knows all about us. Dear child of God, the Lord is fully acquainted with thy ways. Nothing has escaped his notice. You're constantly under his eye. Job, who suffered so much, he declared, "Doth he not see my ways and count all my steps?" In Job 31 and verse 4, of course he does. And there in the midst of all that Job came through, in all his distress and all his affliction, he says, "Doesn't the Lord know? Doesn't he know all my ways? Doesn't he see it?" Of course he does. Are you in trouble tonight? Are you in pain, in affliction? Are you in sorrow? Some crisis overtaken your life? Some awful grief intruded upon you? God knows all about it. "I have heard the groaning of the children of Israel," and he's still the same today. He knows and hears our groanings, and he sees our tears. But look again at verse 5. We have, secondly, God's blessed recollection. And here we have the mind of God revealed to us. Back in chapter 6 of Exodus in verse 5, it goes on to say, I have remembered my covenant. Here we see God calling to mind his merciful promise to Israel. When God makes a promise, he will keep it. And God had made a covenant promise with Israel to give them the land. Remember what we read in verse 4, I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage wherein they were strangers. And this, of course, was first given to Abraham, the father of the Hebrew nation. Back in Genesis chapter 15, let me read you the verses from verse 18 to the end. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. The Canaanites and the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgazites and the Jebusites. God says, I've given you this land. It was his covenant promise. It's established again in chapter 17 and verse 7 and 8. I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and unto thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger and all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So it was first given to Abraham, and then of course, it was given to Isaac. Let me read you Genesis 26 and verse 3. Sojourn in this land, God says to Isaac, I will be with thee and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed will I give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And then, of course, it was given to Jacob in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 13. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed. My dear friends, God is ever faithful. He cannot lie. He must fulfill his promise. The promised land will be the inheritance of the children of Israel. He will give it to them for an inheritance. He is Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God. And that just simply reminds me that he will make good all his gracious promises that he's made to you and me. He has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. You want to get that covenant promise into your heart. He has promised to uphold us with the right hand of his righteousness. In the midst of all the darkness that we pass through, with all the affliction and distress that surrounds us, the Lord will uphold us in the midst of such a time. He has promised to be with us when we pass through the waters. He says, they'll not overflow you, and I'll be there to take you by the hand. He has promised to pour water upon them that are thirsty. Are you thirsty for the great workings of God in this day? I am. Do you want that rain from on high, the showers of blessing? Oh, that God would give us the thirsty soul and help us to claim this promise. He has promised to make all things work together for our good because we love the Lord and because we are the called according to his purpose. He has promised to give us eternal life to his sheep and will never perish. He has promised to bring us to glory. He has promised to grant us the joys of heaven, our eternal home. And God, my friend, will fulfill every promise. He cannot fail. Listen to what is written in Joshua 21, verse 45. There faileth not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. And coming near the end of the journey, we are told that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age, Joshua 23 and 1. He calls the elders of Israel together. He's got instructions to give them before he dies. And one of the things that he said was this: "And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof." Oh, God is a God that remembers his covenant, remembers the promises that he's made. One final thought, and I want you to think about God's bountiful compassion. And here we're led to the heart of God, and the heart of God is revealed. I see God's heart of compassion here as he takes note of all the groaning and the misery of his dear children, and he hears their cry. He proclaims to them, "I am the Lord. I am Jehovah." You have it here before us in verse 2, and you have it again in verse 7 and verse 8. And then we have a series of seven separate "I will" promises given to Israel in those verses 6 through to verse 8. And God is simply saying here, "I'm going to do it. You can count on me." All these glorious promises have their spiritual application to God's people today. "I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. I will take you to me for a people. I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God." Verse 8, "I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and I will give it you for an heritage." I'm not a Hebrew expert, but I am told that each of these verbs are in the Hebrew past. That is the perfect tense instead of the future tense. For so certain was God in his accomplishment of these promises that they were viewed as having been accomplished or completed. Now, I'm sure that God has application for you in these wonderful promises, for they are yea, and they are amen in Christ. Let me paraphrase them. "I will bring you out." Are you in some kind of trouble tonight? Are you in some kind of bondage just as these people were? God will bring you out. "I will rescue you from your bondage. I will redeem you. I will take you as my people. I will be your God. I will bring you into the land. I will give you an heritage." I would like to take time to go down all those promises. We haven't time tonight. But you see how appropriate and applicable they are for you and me today. May God apply his promises to our hearts. And may he do us good. And may we hold on to them by faith. For here we have the heart of God revealed to us. Oh, the mindfulness of God to his dear people. May that help you tonight. May it encourage you. May it bless you for Jesus' sake. Now, we're going to have a short time of prayer, as we have done in times past. We're going to throw up a few slides for you. And then we're going to continue on Zoom this evening. So as soon as this prayer time is over, when the last hymn is played, then those who have received from us the Zoom link, go into it, please, and we'll meet you there for a time of personal prayer, the one with the other. And if you're listening in tonight and you want to be part of that prayer time, if you text me, I will text you the link. Or if you know Samuel Johnson, he can do the same. So tonight we're going to ask you to remember these things that are always in our minds, the ministry of God here at the church, especially in these lockdown days, opportunities and conversations that we want to have with people out there about the things of God. Pray for the children, the youth, the seniors of the church, the office bearers and the workers, and our missionary endeavor. So we're going to just take a moment, and just where you are at home, let's remember these things before the Lord in prayer.
Lord, especially we remember the children locked away in these days, not at school, not at church. Sunday school is online and youth challenge is back again. Lord, bring them to listen and to be helped. Bless our young people. Bless the meeting tomorrow night with the Panker. May it be a real blessing to the youth of this congregation and those that are able to join us for that meeting. Remember our sister Noreen and Emmanuel School today. Thank thee for the work that she's doing there. Bless her in it, for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want to pray for those that are suffering with the virus. And Anne Ellen has been drawn to her attention this evening particularly, and there's others that we know about. Let's pray for divine intervention. Father, we think of the trouble that abounds in the land. And we think of our hospitals that are filled with COVID patients. We think of the A&E departments. We think of the intensive care wards and those other wards that have been allocated for those that are suffering with this virus. Oh God, we pray for restoration, intervention, for God to move, for God to stop this pandemic and give the nurses help and the doctors too in the work that they do. Protect them and keep them for Jesus' sake. Amen. And then we think of the National Health Service. Lord, do remember those that we've just prayed for and those that are giving treatments. Remember the vaccine that is being administered now and all that are involved in that program. Oh, gracious God, we pray that you will protect and keep all those that are involved in the health service. Thank thee for them. Thank thee for the ones that belong to Hebron here and to our sister churches. Think of those that are in our families. We commend them to the grace of God tonight in Jesus' name. And then finally, to remember the sick and the needy. We've spoken about Chrissy. Mentioned Dan to you there a moment or two ago. And then all these others that are in need. Let's take a moment to look at the names and mention them before the Lord in prayer. As we think of Peter Moy, I do remember his daughter-in-law, Lucy. Lucy took the virus 10 weeks ago, and she's still very unwell. Will you pray for her recovery, that the Lord would touch this young woman, bring her health and strength again? Our Father, we pray for Lucy. You know her state, and you know her illness, how it's affected her. We pray that you will raise her up from a bed of sickness tonight. Remember Dr. Wilson, strengthen him. Think of the weeks, Lord, that he has been so unwell. We pray that they'll get to the bottom of his problem and be able to administer whatever intervention is necessary to make him well again. May the great physician touch him. All these other sick ones that are known to us, Lord, we commend to your grace tonight. In Jesus' worthy name. Amen. So the prayer time will continue on Zoom. Our sisters will come to the organ and piano. And we'll have two verses of a closing hymn, Standing on the Promises. We've been thinking about the promises of God, the covenant promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ our King, through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. And after we sing this hymn, it is my plan, and I know it's the plan of some others to go home.
and enjoy the time of prayer. So it'll take me just a moment or two to get home, but I'm sure our clerk or our elders will be able to start that season of prayer as soon as you get online. We're encouraging you to do that immediately the hymn is sung. Thank you.
For worshiping with us at Hebron tonight. May the Lord bless you, bless your family, bless his word to your heart, and we'll see many of you later in the place of prayer. Thank you.